Good evening and welcome to tonight's telephone town hall meeting with Representative Steve Daines, candidate for U.S. Senate. We appreciate you joining us tonight and look forward to taking your questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 3 at any time. Again, please press star 3 and you'll be placed in line to ask Representative Steve Daines a question. And we'll try to get to as many questions as possible tonight, but before we begin, Representative Daines would like to offer a few opening comments.
Well, good evening. So, it's nice to be on the phone with fellow Montanans this evening. I'm in Washington, D.C. We've had a very active week, a lot of votes on the House floor, some very important issues we've been addressing this week, and I'm looking forward to getting back to Montana. But I want to make sure, remind everybody, that we are just less than 50 days away from Election Day. And it's hard to believe it's come up this fast. And I want to take this opportunity this evening to discuss how the campaign for Senate is going and also the importance of voting in November. Now, go back to why I'm running in the first place. And as many of you know, I spent 28 years in business before I ran for U.S. Congress. My background, I grew up in Bozeman, went to kindergarten through college there. I'm an MSU Bobcat, degree in chemical engineering, and then worked for 28 years in business. But I really believe we need to get America back on track. We need more jobs. We need a more efficient and effective government. We need to create good-paying jobs and grow our economy through responsible resource development. And we need to reduce this government overreach, whether it's the NSA keeping our phone records or emails, or it's Obamacare or the IRS. We've just seen an unprecedented overreach of our federal government, and we need to make sure we protect our veterans and our seniors. I have a 96-year-old grandmother. My parents are both in their 70s. My in-laws are in their late 70s, now early 80s, and you know, we live with these issues every day in our family and the importance of protecting our seniors and then our veterans. My dad's a U.S. Marine, and one of the joys of my job that I've had serving as U.S. Congressman from Montana has been working to protect our veterans, working to reform the VA, the outrageous issues that have been going on at the VA and how it's affecting our veterans not only in Montana but across the country. We also need new leadership in the Senate. We don't need somebody who's going to prop up President Obama's agenda. We need more Montana solutions in Washington. We don't need more of these Washington, D.C. failed policies coming to Montana. I've been saying frequently that Washington, D.C. needs to look more like Montana, not the other way around. Montana balances its budget. It's required to. It's constitution by law. And yet in Washington, D.C., there's no requirement to balance a budget, and here we are staring at $18 trillion of debt. So we're having this telephone town hall tonight to talk about how important it is to vote in this election. Many of you should soon receive an absentee ballot application in the mail, and absentee voting is very easy. You vote at home. You vote on your time and schedule. And this election is so critical, and we simply need your help to change the direction of Washington and to change the direction of this country. Remember back in 2006, there was an important U.S. Senate race, and that Senate race in Montana was decided by 3,600 votes. Now, we have that many people on the phone tonight. Think about that. In fact, we have more than that, that the people on this phone tonight could have decided the 2006 election had they participated in that election, and that election decided whether or not we have Obamacare or not today, and that's how important this election is. So we're going to take as many of your questions as we can tonight. We literally have thousands of Montanans on the line. This is one great big town hall meeting, and I'm looking forward to hearing what's on your minds. So how you ask a question, you press star 3 on your phone, and that will get you in line to ask a question. So again, press star 3 to get in line to ask a question, and we're going to try to take as many questions as we can tonight. And we're working very, very hard all the way through Election Day. So with some 47 days left, we have our heads down working very, very hard on behalf of the people of Montana, and we're going to give you opportunities to volunteer as well. But if you want to ask a question, please press star 3 We'll turn it back over to our moderators here, who will be getting some folks lined up to ask some questions.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. And just a reminder that if you'd like to ask a question, please press *3 to get in line. And our first question comes from Phoebe from Bozeman.
Hi, Congressman Daines. Good evening. My husband is on Social Security and Medicare, and I am close to going on those two government programs as well. So I'm terribly worried about them, though. Are they going to be bankrupt, and will they still be solvent in a few years?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a question that I get from many of our seniors across Montana who are concerned about, they see the $18 trillion of debt and wonder, are we going to continue to support Medicare and Social Security? The answer is absolutely yes. We are going to keep the promises that we have made to our seniors. A promise made is a promise kept. And so it's absolutely important as we think about our seniors who have worked their entire lives planning for their retirement, and we don't want them to be worried about whether or not Medicare and Social Security is going to be there for them. So the commitment to our seniors is absolutely, yes, we're going to preserve and protect these programs for our seniors. The concern that we all have is, what about our kids and our grandkids? We are on a path that if we don't continue to work to reform these systems, that our children and our grandchildren are not going to have this very important safety net. My one grandmother just passed away a few months ago in Billings, and she depended on her Social Security check and her Medicare. Without that, she would not have had a reliable source of income. And that is why we must insist on ensuring we keep these important safety nets. However, we've got to work on reforming them so that our kids and our grandkids will have a system that will be there when they retire. But thanks for that question, Phoebe.
Okay, so we're about ready to take our next question. Again, just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *3 now to get in line. And our next question comes from Gary. Gary, go ahead.
Gary, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Gary. This is Steve. Go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah, I used to work in the oil fields up in Alaska. And a lot of those wells that were drilled and actually could be put into production were just capped off. And it really makes me sad to think about the amount of energy we have in oil shale, oil sands, actual oil in the different annuluses that are throughout Montana and other places, and the coal we have and everything else. And yet here we are paying almost $4 a gallon for gas now, and which just is a heck of a strap on everybody's back. And yet nothing is done about it. And, you know, here's the thing. Obama could get in a plane and spend $1 million worth of gas in a 747 car, you know, going all over the country and the world, and yet we have to pay for our gas. He doesn't pay for a penny's worth of his. And it really ticks me off, and I think we could do a whole lot better in this country if we just turned the energy sector loose. And we've got so much coal. We've got one of the largest coal deposits in the world. And yet here we sit in higher prices for electricity and everything else. So anyway, I'd like somebody to address that, and I'll hang up and let everybody else talk. Thanks now.
Hey, Gary,
bye.
Before you hang up, where are you calling from tonight?
Troy, Montana.
Oh, Troy. Well.
Yeah, Troy that hardly has an income anymore.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, I was out in Lincoln County. Made a swing up through Libby here a few weeks ago, and it's a county that is hurting with unemployment rates of over 15%. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Bozeman, you know, Libby was a AA high school. It was, you know, the proud Libby loggers there, and the logging industry has just been decimated by these extreme groups that have filed these lawsuits and litigate and stop these timber harvests. In fact, we just had a couple of Very disturbing pieces of news here in the last couple of weeks where Stoltz Lumber up in Columbia Falls laid off 10 people because they can't get enough logs. They have plenty of demand, can't get enough logs because one of these extreme groups litigated one of their timber sales and stopped it. And so we watch our forest burn in the summertime, breathe the smoke, and we don't have the jobs here. We don't have the tax revenues then that support our schools or infrastructure. It's a terrible situation, and I'll tell you where I know, Gary, this isn't your question you asked, but we'll talk about your specific question on oil and coal. But we'll say we've passed a bill here in the House that reforms the way timber management and these processes work to get thousands of timber jobs up and running again here in Montana. But anyway, you live in a beautiful part of the state, but I'll tell you what, we need more jobs, we need more high-paying jobs out there. On the issue of oil and coal, tomorrow marks the 6-year anniversary, literally tomorrow, Friday, of the when the first permit application was filed for the Keystone Pipeline. It took Canada 7 months to approve the Keystone Pipeline. It's taken President Obama 6 years with no decision. He's just basically said no. And that pipeline would start generating 800,000 to 900,000 barrels of oil a day coming through that pipeline. 100,000 barrels a day would be Montana and North Dakota crude that's coming in at Baker, Montana. And I'll tell you what, based on what we've seen on the news in the last several weeks with the rise of ISIS and them as a direct threat not only to Europe but also a direct threat to the United States, it's so important that we move forward here on developing more made in America energy. And we are somewhere between 5 and 10 years away from being energy independent. But the biggest issue, the biggest barrier to that right now is what's going on here in Washington, D.C. with this president, the EPA, his executive agencies and their regulations, and these extreme groups that seek to stop responsible natural resource development. On the issue of coal, Montana has more coal than any state in the country. It's a tremendous source of low-cost electricity for us. In fact, 51% of Montana's electricity comes from coal. It supports somewhere around $125 million of tax revenues that funds our teachers, our parks, our infrastructure, not to mention thousands of good Montana jobs with good benefits, and most importantly, a low-cost source of electricity. And so, Gary, I completely share your concerns, and we've passed a number of bills in the House that deal with these issues that allow us to move forward here with responsible energy development. But it is the United States Senate, Barack Obama right now, that are the barriers to getting these policies through and unleashing the potential that we have here for more made in America energy. We've got to get there as quickly as possible. Do you realize the ISIS forces, these Islamic State of Iraq and Syria forces, these terrorists that have videotaped these horrible beheadings of two Americans and a gentleman from the UK, they are receiving somewhere between $1 and $2 million a day in oil revenues to fund the ISIS forces. And so we have got to move towards made in America energy and remove our dependence on the Middle East for oil. Before we take another question, we've got a poll question we'd like to ask the listeners on the phone tonight. And this really helps us better serve you to know what issues are most important to you and your family. So I'm going to read off 4 issues to you. And from those following 4 options, I'm going to ask you to tell me which one is most important to you, to pick number 1. So you're basically going to hit either 1, 2, 3, or 4, depending on which issue is most important to you. So you're only going to push the button once, so listen to all of them before you press the button. So press 1 if jobs and the economy is your number 1 issue. 2 if health care is your number 1 issue. Press 3 if federal spending and taxes are your number 1 issue. Press 4 if Social Security and Medicare is your number 1 issue. I'll go through those one more time. Press 1 if it's jobs and the economy. Press 2 if it's health care. Press 3 if it's federal spending and taxes, and press 4 for Social Security and Medicare. We'll just take a couple seconds here and have you weigh in with your votes there, and then we'll take some more questions. Okay, well, and while you are going through that that poll here, one other thing. Remember to press star 3 to get in line to ask a question. And we've had a few folks ask, how do you go about helping volunteering the campaign? And if you want to get involved in the campaign, you just press 1 if you'd like to be a volunteer. So the polling now is done. So now we're back to, if you want to volunteer, you can press 1. If you want to contribute to the campaign, you press star 0 if you want to speak to somebody and they can help you in making a donation to support to make sure we get more signs, radio ads, TV ads, our door-to-door staff and so forth, helping us make sure we win this election. All right, so we'll take another question.
Okay, great. And so just another reminder, we'll have time for a few more questions. And if you would like to ask a question, please press star 3 now to get in line to do so. If you're interested in volunteering with the campaign, you can press 1 now, and a member of our team will get in touch with you so that you can get involved. A final reminder, if you're interested in making a donation to the campaign, you can do so now by pressing star 0, and you'll be connected with a live operator. We greatly appreciate your support, so please press star 0 now if you'd like to make a contribution to the campaign. And with that, we will take a question from Doug. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve.
Doug, how are you?
I'm okay. You know, years ago we met and we talked at a friend's townhouse near the golf course here in Kalispell, and we talked about bureaucracy, government overreach, regulation, etc. And
yeah,
since then I've been learning a great deal, and I know you have too. But one of the things I'm kind of focused on today, I just went to a Chamber of Commerce event here yesterday that was interesting, and one of the things that came up is a pet peeve of all of us, and that is that at some point in time in the past 30 years, Congress has given up, without realizing they were giving up, an awful lot of their regulatory authority to agencies. The EPA, for example, which has just become a huge monster and is now reaching for all of the water in Montana so that it can control all the commerce that happens with everything by beating people about the head and shoulders, you know, with the dredge and fill permits, which average $129,000 each. Most of the farmers in Montana will probably be facing that at some point if the EPA has their way. And then fish, wildlife, and parks. So if you look at the EPA and the Endangered Species Act, the environmentalists pretty well have us by the you-know-what throughout Montana, and it's killing us. It's absolutely killing us. I know that you know all about that. So my question is kind of a simple one. How do you see Congress getting back its regulatory authority from agencies that may or may not even have a right to exist?
Yeah. Great question. Are you calling from Kalispell tonight then, Doug?
I am.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for the question. A couple of things. As I traveled around Montana in my pickup the month of August, I heard this same concern over and over again. And it was it wasn't just from any one particular group, like farmers and ranchers, very concerned about these regulations coming from the EPA. And that act you referred to on the waters is called the Waters of the USA. And basically what that does, it's a regulation proposed by the EPA that gives them regulatory authority basically against any dry ditch, mud puddle, and so forth on private or public land. And today they have regulatory authority over what they call navigable waterways. But they're going to remove that language, which unleashes the EPA to regulate and control private land as well as public lands, virtually any ditch, dry ditch, puddles, depressions, and it's very, very concerning. Well, let me tell you one thing Congress did. In fact, it just was the week before last, we passed a bill in the House that reined that back, pushed back on the EPA, that said you can't do that. You can't overreach in that regard. And that passed the U.S. House. Now, here's the problem. It went over to the U.S. Senate, to Harry Reid's desk. Do you realize Harry Reid is sitting on 385 bills that the House has passed since I've been back here, so that's in the last 20 months, 385 bills that he has refused to take to the floor for an up or down vote. And many of these bills, most of these bills, passed the House with some bipartisan support. So the problem we've got right now is we've got a U.S. Senate that is refusing to do what we believe, act on the will of the people. The House is the house of the people. And we took that specific regulation you mentioned, Doug, on the waters, because our farmers and ranchers are very concerned about that. Our farmers and ranchers are going to turn into a bunch of compliance officers instead of taking care of cattle and grain and so forth. Whether you talk to our small businesses in Montana who are looking at these regulations that are continuing every day, piling on more authority on their daily lives here as they're trying to grow their businesses. Now, what is something else that Congress can do? Well, we passed a bill earlier this year called the RAINS Act. And that bill passed the House. The RAINS Act says that if a executive agency, one of these bureaucracies, puts in force a rule or regulation that has more than $100 million impact on our economy per year, they cannot do that without congressional oversight and approval. So the idea is reining in these federal agencies that have become way too powerful, way too invasive in our daily lives in Montana, and we simply must move back to allowing the states to have primacy in these regulatory battles. We can let the Montana DEQ, let the Montana agencies regulate. We don't need these federal agencies who are thousands of miles away, who have these one-size-fits-all regulations. At the end of the day, when you've got to change something here in Washington, you got to deal with 100 senators and 435 congressmen and women, versus in Montana, if we're going to deal with a change, we can deal with a Montana legislature, a Montana governor, a Montana attorney general. And I think that is a better way to govern and will give us better policies.
Okay, and before our next question, as a reminder, if you'd like to still ask a question, please press *3 now to get in line. If you're interested in volunteering for the campaign, please press 1 now, and a member of our team will get in touch with you so that you can get involved. If you're interested in making a donation to our campaign, you can do so now by pressing *0, and you'll be connected with a live operator. We greatly appreciate your support, so please press *0 now if you'd like to make a contribution to the campaign. So for our next question, we'll go to Richard from Billings.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Richard, this is Steve.
Yes, hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. Richard, you're calling from Billings?
Yes, sir. I've got a question for you, and it goes to the accountability factor. And I would like to know what or if you could propose something in Washington as our next U.S. Senator, and that's accountability in view of the Benghazi, the IRS, Fast and Furious, and the stonewalling of the Justice Department of the United States. What could be done to help restore the confidence to the public as far as what we've seen in the last couple of years?
Don't you just feel that we've got a government that's turned against us in many ways, our federal government? And when the people lose trust, when the people no longer believe there's integrity left in their government, you know, where do you turn to? And that's why I can tell you, I mean, that's why we are actively engaged in this campaign. We simply have to change the makeup of who's leading back here in Washington. I'll give you an example. When we were going through the VA mess, veterans on hidden waiting lists for the sake of ensuring that VA executives get huge bonuses to kind of cook the books, do you realize the United States House held 42 different oversight hearings on the VA? The Senate held 6. You see, we've got to make sure we have good partners right now in the Senate that are laser-focused on overseeing these agencies as we have been in the House. And you maybe see what's going on with Benghazi, right? So I'll tell you, it was a few months ago, I got to go down to the House floor, and I got to place two votes 2 yes votes for the people of Montana. Every time I go down to that floor, I get to vote on behalf of a million Montanans. It's a very high honor, but I'll tell you what, I take it very, very seriously to make sure I'm casting what I think is going to be the best vote for Montana. The 2 votes I got to take that week, one of them was to place Lois Lerner, that IRS leader, we placed her in contempt of court, contempt of Congress. Now, you remember Lois Lerner is the one who, she pled the 5th in front of some of these congressional hearings. Lois Lerner is the one, she suddenly lost all her emails that we asked for. And can you imagine if you went had an IRS audit and they start asking you about your tax returns and you said, I want to plead the 5th? And then you said, I lost all of my documentation. I lost my email, so I don't have anything to show you to the auditor. You would be in serious trouble with the IRS. Well, we believe as the House of the People, we need to put Lois Lerner in serious trouble. That's why we held her in contempt of Congress. The other thing we did that same week is we put in place a select committee on Benghazi. 4 Americans murdered that night. And for the Montanans here on the phone tonight, you should know the father of one of those young men who was killed in Benghazi lives in Montana. The father of Mr. Woods lives in Montana. He's a dear, dear man, and I spoke to him face-to-face several months ago as they are demanding justice for the 4 Americans murdered in Benghazi. And there's been a cover-up there, and if you've been watching the news, you see Congressman Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, who is going to chair that Benghazi Select Committee. I know Trey well. He's a great American. He's believes in justice. He's a man of great humility and of great passion. And that is how we're going to have to rein in this government right now, is through your congressional oversight. It's one of the important roles we have back here in Washington. The problem is we don't always have a good partner in the Senate right now that is focused with the same kind of action and next steps that we are taking in the House. So here is how you can help. There's a call to action here. We need your help to change the makeup of the U.S. Senate. And if you want to volunteer for this cause for the next 48 days to ensure that we win back the United States Senate, press 1. If you press 1 on your phone, we'll get in contact with you. We'll have somebody give you a call on the phone and make sure that you know how to get engaged with our campaign, because we're running out of time and we've got to change the makeup of the Senate so we can rein in this out of control, these federal agencies that are creating so many problems for Americans today.
Okay, and just a reminder again, if you'd like to get in line to ask a question, press *3 now on your phone to get in line to ask a question. And next we will go to Linda from Billings.
Hi, Steve. I'm concerned about the mistruths that the media is printing. We're not only dealing with it with newspapers, but on television, so that the word can get out about truly what our Republican Party stands for. It seems like we are fighting with liberalism everywhere we turn, except for one source that I can think of, that being Fox News, that teaches or shows both sides. What can we do as Montanans to counteract this?
Well, Linda, thank you. You're calling from Billings. Is that right, Linda? Yeah. Well, a couple of things, and thank you for that question. A couple of things we've got to do is we recognize that it's difficult to get our message through the media, but there's the things that we can do. One, we need people on the phone here tonight. We need Montanans across the state to write letters to the editor. State your opinions. Tell them what you think, because you know what? If you get a letter to the editor printed, that is your voice speaking and not the media's voice speaking. The second thing we need to do is we need to continue to work to get our campaigns. I'm buying radio ads. I buy TV ads. It's a way for us to get our message that cuts through the media bias that we face today. And that is why we need your help, everybody's help tonight on the phone, to volunteer, get our signs up, make sure you fill out your absentee ballot. And if you haven't made a request for an absentee ballot, make sure you get registered to vote, request an absentee ballot, and absolutely to vote, because we're going to change this country by changing the leaders that are elected that serve both in Montana and, importantly, back here in Washington, D.C. But I appreciate that question, and we fight that every day, and we work hard to try to maintain good relationships with the media to make sure they're getting the best information possible from us. But at the end of the day, we need folks here on the phone to get those letters to the editor written. Those can be a helpful way for us to cut through and get our message out. And remember, again, press 1 if you want to volunteer on your phone, and we need the help. This is an election that don't assume your neighbor's going to do it this year. We need everybody all in here between now and November 4th to volunteer and most important, to vote.
And just to remind everyone again, if you'd like to ask a question, you can press *3 to get in line. And we will have another question coming from Jim from Missoula.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Jim.
You're talking to another ex-retired P&G man from Missoula and one of the few conservatives in town, I think. But
Jim, we're
what
glad
I called
you
about.
In. Yeah.
What?
Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, what I called you about is I've called your office and I went down there one time trying to get an idea. Steve, I think what you ought to be doing is going to the people and telling them just when you're talking how important this is that we change this Senate to where it's controlled by conservatives, that I think you ought to be tying your opponent into them and maybe even showing pictures of Max Stepanfetchit Baucus and when he was pushing through Obamacare and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Obama together. I think that's what we one thing that would make a big difference to me. Would that work?
Well, thanks, Jim, and thanks for calling from Missoula. It's where my dad went to school. He's a University of Montana graduate, and I went to that other school in Bozeman that the Grizzlies call where the Bobcats are at, but I grew up in the divided house. Well, it's so important, Jim, and you're exactly right. In fact, President Obama's favorability ratings in Montana are somewhere in the low to mid-30s. In other words, only about a third of Montanans approve of him, and about the upper 50s, nearly two-thirds of Montanans disapprove of his presidency. And I think as we've been watching what's going on the last several years and then watching the last 90 days, the unraveling of our foreign policy, where the world is a very dangerous place today, I had the honor of meeting President Porochenko of the Ukraine. He spoke in Washington today at a joint session of Congress about the threat of Putin, about the threat of Russia here wanting to they went after Crimea, now they're going after the Ukraine. Here we are seeing these horrible atrocities created and committed by ISIS. And so we see a really complete failure. The lack of leadership of this president, his indecisiveness, and the weakness displayed by the United States has created a very dangerous world. And then back here at home, we've got, as you said, Obamacare. We've got a United States Senate now that is not passing legislation. They're sitting on 385 bills that we've passed in the House. They didn't pass a budget this year. The Senate didn't. And so we have so many challenges that we need to change out Harry Reid, Barack Obama. And, you know, we changed speakership there when we fired Nancy Pelosi in 2010. We need to fire Harry Reid in 2014, and we need a Republican president in 2016. And so completely agree to get that message out, and we're going to need your help. Again, we need volunteers. We need folks to help us in Montana. Register to vote. Make sure you do vote if you are registered, because ultimately, we're going to change this country through changing the leadership here in Washington, and that's going to happen at the ballot box.
Thanks, Representative Baines. Just another reminder that if you'd like to ask a question, you can press *3. And we're going to go to a question from Brian. Brian, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. This is Brian Shoof. I live in Miles City, Montana.
Hey,
I'm
Brian,
a petroleum engineer, 75 years old.
Great.
The question that I have is that I have always been a free man and believed in the Constitution. the Obamacare was written in the Senate and passed in the Senate. It was initiated in the Senate. Section 1, Article 7 of the United States Constitution says that only Congress can handle money or tax matters and write any bills of that effect. Why has this never been attacked?
Thanks for that question. Thanks for calling in. As a another petroleum engineer, you know, my background was chemical engineering, so it's good to have another engineer on the phone tonight. Well, you know, that got into all of that gymnastics that would have happened, remember, back in 2010, where they were using some very technical parliamentary procedures of reconciliation when they moved that bill through the House. And that is part of what got challenged, certainly with the Supreme Court. We were all very disappointed when it was just Judge Roberts, Justice Roberts here, that did not rule that this was a tax, when many of us believe it was, which would have possibly dismantled Obamacare had we had that ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. But it points to the fact that we simply are going to need to have the votes right now in the Senate to overturn Obamacare. We're also going to need to have enough votes in the Senate to override a veto of President Obama, because if we repealed Obamacare, and we've had those votes in the House several times, we don't have enough votes in the Senate to override a presidential veto. And this is the very, very troubling part right now on Obamacare and why we've got to continue the fight. And then we're going to have to change this right now at the ballot box. And we've got the chance right now in this election. We need 6 seats to change the majority in the Senate, to take the gavel out of Harry Reid's hands. We need 6. It starts with Montana. Then we're going to get South Dakota, West Virginia, all looking good right now. And then there's about another 7 states beyond those 3 that are very much competitive and in play right now that we possibly could take. We need 6. And then we could put forth our agenda. And then clearly in 2016, we need to elect a conservative to the White House.
Thank you, Representative Daines, and thank you to everyone for joining us tonight. I'll turn it back over to Representative Daines in just a moment for some closing remarks. We're sorry if we couldn't take all of your questions, but if you stay on the line, you'll have the opportunity to leave a voice message for us, and we encourage you to do so. So please leave your name and phone number and stay on the line to do so, and we'll do our best to get back with you as soon as we can. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Representative Daines to wrap up our call.
Well, thank you for joining this call tonight. Greatly appreciated. And it highlights once again how important this election is. You know, I was thinking on the questions that we had tonight, so many good questions. Our Constitution begins with 3 very important words, and it's "we the people." I think President Obama believes that the Constitution begins with "I, the President," but it's about "we, the people." This election is critical to the future of our state. It's critical to the future of our nation. Many of you on the phone tonight will soon be receiving an absentee ballot request form in the mail. Please fill it out and immediately send it in to register as an absentee ballot voter if you already aren't. And I would love to have your commitment that you'll do that in November, that you will vote in November. So I'm asking you tonight, can I have your commitment that you will vote in November? And if you will commit to voting, if you would press 3 right now on your phone, if you're going to commit to voting in November tonight, please press 3 on your phone. And we want to see how many folks tonight will commit to vote. And do not think that, well, my vote doesn't matter, or it cancels out my neighbor's vote or whatever. We need every vote, because the United States Senate race in 2006 in Montana was decided by 3,600 votes. That's fewer votes than the folks who are on the call here tonight, to put that in perspective. So every vote counts. So I can't do this without your help. We are needing your help from all the way tonight. We had callers from Troy all the way to Miles City, and we need help across the state. So if you want to help volunteer, press 1, and we'll make sure we get a hold of you to help us volunteer in this campaign here in the next 48 days. And then if you are interested in making a donation, you can hit *0. and somebody will talk to you about making a donation. And I know every dollar is hard to come by right now in Montana, but we need your help right now to turn this ship and restore principles of freedom and liberty back here in Washington in our United States Senate. And also, lastly, please stay on the line to leave a message. If we weren't able to get to your question tonight, stay on the line, and you'll be able to leave a voicemail, and then we can get somebody back to you and respond. But thank you again for being on the call. It's an honor to serve as your congressman. I appreciate all the interest across the state, and thank you for giving up some time this evening to be in this call, and look forward to a victory in November. Take care, and God bless.